is going to be an awesome episode. It is actually the last one of this first season. And guys, I can't even tell you how much fun I've had on this podcast. And I hope y'all are loving hearing all the advice from all of these amazing people. Today, though, to close it out, we have a very, very special guest. He is my brother, my older brother, John Luke Robertson. He's seriously a one of a kind. One of the greatest humans that I know. He has the purest heart. He's so wise. He literally got me through high school. Praise the Lord. Bless him and his sweetheart. And he's just amazing. So we're going to get to hear his advice, and I'm pretty excited to hear what he's going to bring. Hey, fam, John Luke. God, this is what happens when you have your brother on the podcast. John Luke, we don't allow fart noises on this podcast. This is very serious. This is very serious, okay? I'm just kidding. Everybody, if you can't tell for the first 18 seconds that this podcast is going to be the best one ever, because my brother, John Luke, is on. Woo, woo, woo.
What up?
Welcome, Johnny. So this is a fun thing for me to get to ask John Luke, because as you know, this is the end of this season, so y'all know the podcast well enough to know that the only question we ask is, what's the best piece of advice that you've been given? Now, the funny thing about this with John Luke is John Luke is my older brother, so he's given me a lot of advice. Actually, John Luke has given me so much advice. If it wasn't for him, I do not know that I would have made it through high school. Is that not the true story, John Luke?
That is the true story. I still don't know how she made it.
We all don't know, by the grace of God. But anyways, John Luke, I do want to know, of all the wisdom that you've obtained over the 22 years of your life, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I think the best piece of advice I've ever been given, I don't know where this came from, but it's always been a thought that someone at some time told me. but they said, sometimes you have to create the world that you want to live in.
Oh, that
and
is good.
I think that applies to a lot of more advice that I've been given about your friends, how you become your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But you also become the environment that you live in.
Yeah, that's true.
And I take that and I think about that in the sense of like my house and my schedule and my habit. And like, if I want the world to be bright and clean and orderly, I have to live in such a way that's bright and clean and orderly.
Yeah.
And so I think about that a lot, and it applies to almost every area of my life.
No, that's really cool. I think that something about you that I think is really cool that I want you to share with them is how much you read and how much advice you do take from others. You've always had the spirit of a learner and a researcher, and you've always put the things that you've, the advice you've been given into play.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell some of your stories, like reading different books and like actually applying it to your life, like mm-hmm. the 20 minutes of sleep and the walking with no shoes and stuff like that, and just some of those stories, because I think it's cool that you don't just hear advice and you're like, oh, that's mm-hmm. good advice. You hear it and you implement it in your mm-hmm. life, and then you might not stick with that forever, but you mm-hmm. certainly do learn from it.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people, you hear advice, you hear like sayings, and you think, oh, wow, that's a good saying, but it never actually like touches your
yeah.
life. Like, it has no bearing on your life.
Yeah.
And so at one point I thought, what if we just actually took the advice that people said, you know, like,
good,
what
yeah.
if we actually like went to bed early or woke up early, or, you know, all these things that people say to do and you
yeah.
just never think of. The one, and some of them have turned out to be not so good advice, but
well, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. The one, I read this book, and it was saying how if you only sleep 20 minutes every 4 hours, then you can only sleep 4 hours a day versus 8 hours a day. So I was like, oh, wow, like that's so much more time, because then you never have to really go to sleep. You can stay up all night. And I was like, I have all night to then like watch TV, read books and whatever. And so I was like, I'm gonna do it. So I set my alarms every 4 hours. I slept for 20 minutes. First couple days, pretty bad. Then
you
I was
were
like,
a straight up zombie.
Oh yeah, the first show. And then I was like, oh, I am totally like doing this. Like at night, I would read so many books and watch so many series, and then I would work out. because I had so much time. And then like not gonna lie, the like 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. stretch was pretty lonely.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because everyone in the whole world is asleep.
Yeah, but if everyone did this, then everyone, you know, we would have so much time.
Which goes back to do the thing
that you want everyone.
Yeah, like how you want the world to be created.
How you want the world to be created. Because if everyone did it, then you wouldn't have to stop parties later. You
could
the party can just never stop.
Tyler, maybe you should move to New York.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because like, like normally, like you're like, oh, it's like midnight, it's time to go. Midnight, everyone sleeps for 20 minutes. You watch another movie.
How hilarious if the world actually lived like that, and you're like, hey, hold on, nap time, and everybody was on the same nap schedule.
That everyone would be hilarious. Took a nap. Exactly.
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E .com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
Well, it was working, but it's not very convenient if no one else is doing it. So
it's
like,
that's true.
Like Mary Kate would say, like we would go to lunch, and at 12 o'clock, like I have to sleep for 20 minutes. I can't just go in.
Well, then it interferes with your actual schedule of real life.
Exactly. So it interferes with everyone else's schedule, and that was, I think, the downfall. Because it was lunch one time that Mary Kate was like, "Just come in, like don't." I was like, "I'm gonna sleep in the car." She's like, "Come in." So I did, and I skipped my nap.
And then you're exhausted.
Well, that's like staying up an extra hour.
Yeah.
And so
that's funny.
Then like I skipped another nap and another nap, and then it was basically like I didn't sleep for 2 days.
Oh my
gosh.
I kept
skipping naps. So then I started hallucinating.
Which is a whoa, that's bad.
Yeah. And
sometimes
then,
whoa, that's good can turn into whoa, that's bad if you take it to too far the extreme.
Exactly. Then I fell asleep and slept for like 16 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And now I'm fine. But the good thing about that is still, if I need to go to sleep, I can still fall asleep in like 1 minute.
Because you learned it from that time. See, that's cool. That is whoa, that's good. We'll take it back to whoa, that's good because you actually learned a lot from it. Mm-hmm. And then my other favorite one of you is whenever you read the book about running barefoot everywhere.
Yeah.
Which I bet your feet are tougher because of that.
I did that for a while. Running Barefoot was a book called Born to Run. And it was about these people that run. If you run barefoot, like it's way better for like your feet, and like shoes are so bad for your feet. And like I read this documentary about Nike, and they literally knew that the shoes they were creating are bad for your feet, and they still did it.
Nike,
because they were like the first ones who came out with.
What about Adidas?
Like,
say
I don't
it
know.
So.
Yeah, I don't know about Adidas.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. No, okay. So what I love about this is what we're talking about you take what you've been given and then you actually apply it to your life. Mm-hmm. You take this advice and that you do it because you want to create a culture around you of mm-hmm. the good things that you've learned. And so I think it's cool because it says about the word that it's active and it's alive, the word mm-hmm. of God. And so how have you seen this in just reading the Bible and actually implementing the things of Jesus into your life that you read? Because I see you cultivate every place that you go as an environment that Jesus dwells in and stuff. But I've also known you to be one who's read the Bible, you know, mm-hmm. like you right. know it, so you do it. So have you seen this right. in your life with the word of God, just as you have with you're born to run and these mm-hmm. kind of things?
Oh, absolutely. Cause I mean, you read the Bible and there's really not very many things that Jesus told us to do. Like they're pretty simple things sure. like, take care of orphans and widows. Forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be angry. Like, don't yeah. let the sun go out on your anger. Like, there's
love
only
one another.
Love one another. There's only like a few things. It's not like it's a big complicated rule book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not in Leviticus anymore.
Yeah.
So especially with like anger, it's like I hardly ever get angry, and it's simply because like I just forgive because that's what it says to do.
Mm-hmm. That's
like
good.
Why would I dwell like. The advice is don't go to sleep when you're angry, like resolve conflict when it happens. So I do that every single time. And excuse me. So I do that every single time. And like, there's hardly anyone that I can think of that I'm like, we still have an issue.
Yeah, you do. I can actually look at your life. And that's something I noticed actually in the past few weeks. That you have peace with everyone. Like, mm-hmm. you really, truly do. And that's, like, beautiful. But that's because you forgive, you love well, you mm-hmm. honor, you love sacrificially, which is what mm-hmm. Jesus says to do. And that's what yeah. he showed. And I think that's beautiful. And you, more than most anybody I know, and to say this about my brother, this is really cool because I've seen you live your life. And mm-hmm. you take on that. And I think people listening may be like, oh, does he really not get angry? And I can say he really doesn't, because you really do just believe. And I heard somebody, actually Eric, who's our security guard on the tour, he said today, he goes, you know, Jesus said to love one another. And he said, you know, like, that's what we're supposed to do. And he was talking about his wife as an example. And he said, my wife, that's the relationship on earth that's like the closest relationship to me. And so like every single day, whether I like her or not, mm-hmm. I will love her, and I will love her well, because that's what Jesus said to do.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to see it like that. If it's what Jesus said to do, then you just do it.
Yeah.
No matter what. There's mm-hmm. no buts, but the world's doing this, but this person did this to me. But mm-hmm. no, you just do because that's what he said to do.
Yeah.
And I love that. I've seen that all over your life. The other thing I've seen you do, and I want to hit on, is that you put yourself in situations and in places to learn and mm-hmm. grow. Like, you're not afraid of face planting, and you're not afraid of things that maybe are outside of your comfort zone. And I've seen that especially with the show. And so mm-hmm. you want to talk a little bit about that, about how to just like do the things that might make you feel uncomfortable, but you do it because God's called you to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that really goes into like failure and what my view of failure is and what other people's view of failure is. And a lot of advice you hear from people who are older or dying, they almost always say, from what I've read, like they don't regret the things that they did, they regret the things they didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, I think, are afraid of failure because they've just never experienced it.
Yes.
But, like, I've taken advice that says, like, Bob Goff said, if you want more faith, do more stuff.
Mm.
And, like, I did that. And it was when I stepped out in what I thought was faith, or in faith, was one of the most embarrassing, biggest failures of my life. But I'm still here. I mean, like, I'm still fine, and yeah. I definitely have more faith in God
yeah.
because I'm, like, I'm still here. And I think that's cool. The thing about, like, face plant, getting on stage. Like, I usually try to do something different every night.
Yeah.
And two nights ago, I think, just did not work at all, like, even remotely. And I was like, okay, that one didn't work. But I'm like, I might as well try, because
you never know.
And I think that's the thing, too, is, like, I failed, but then I'm still doing the show tonight.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I think, are scared of following the advice or failing because they've never done it in the first place and then made it through.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I think in my life too, I failed, and then you think like, oh, I can never do it again, or like it's over. And sometimes it just takes time.
Yeah.
But like at this point, like, I've failed so much in so many different areas of my life, I'm like, yeah, might as well just try it. Yeah, like,
it's,
I'm still
so
going.
So true. And I think that's such a good point, John Luke. Like, I love that you shared that, because I do think that a lot of people have the fear of failure, and because a lot of times they don't see the failure from the people on stage, but mm-hmm. you only see 30 minutes of their life, you know? You don't know how many times they've face planted to get them in a position where mm-hmm. they can actually stand upright, you know? And I think that that's happened in my life a million times, that in your life. And I always tell people, they say, like, how do you have so much freedom and confidence and stuff? And I'm like, honestly, because I finally just gave my failure to God and said, use it all. Like, use it all. If I face plant, I face plant. Use it. Then show people how you are much stronger than me and much better. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think when you just allow God to do that, then that happens. And I've seen that in your life. And that's really, really, really cool. The other thing is, I love how you mentioned Bob. And Bob started this season off, the first podcast. And Bob, like, literally pours out advice. Like, he literally just pours it out. And I know you went to Uganda with Bob. And talk about that, because that was another thing about you putting yourself in a position where you're, like, going by yourself to, like, Uganda with Bob Goff. But, like, just what that did for your life, because I know that was huge.
Oh, wow. That actually just reminded me of where I heard the advice in the first place. So when I went to Uganda with Bob, that was after I read the book 1,000 Miles in a Million Years by Donald Miller.
Oh, no way.
And so that book, the whole like a summary of that book is, he says, live the life, basically, like, live a good story. Like, live a life that you want to tell someone about later.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I read that book, and I was like, oh, I'm in. So then when Bob asked me to go to Uganda, I was like, yes, I'm in. Because that was the story.
Because
it's a good story. And that's
cool.
The story that that I wanted to live.
That is so cool. Okay, I love that. And Donald Miller is, how is he connected to Bob Goff? They're like, I don't know, they're like best friends, kind of, like, and they're both amazing, amazing men. And if you've never read either of their books, go read their books. They actually invited our family to go to Canada years and years ago, and it was such a significant time in our family's life of just saying yes to something that was outside of our comfort zone. And because of that, I know that our family's been so blessed from it, and it's changed our idea and perspective of just going after things that seem super, super bizarre. But anyways, John, like, this advice was amazing. I hope everybody is encouraged by this. And the last thing I want to ask you is something that I love how you answer. I've heard you get asked this question, and I love how you answer it. It's the question that everybody says about, how did you and Mary Kay do it? Y'all got married so young, and you know how everybody was like, this is, like, crazy to get married at 18, like, it's not gonna work. And I've heard you answer this question as to how or why, and so I would love for you to share it with it, because I think that it's so much truth.
I think getting married at 18 is crazy. That's why we waited till we're 19. That was another thing about advice that we had heard. We talked to people who had been married when they were Mary Kate's parents were married when they were 39 and 32. My parents were married when they were 18 and 19. We've heard every end of the spectrum, getting married late, getting married early, getting married in your 30s, however it is. And none of them said the reason that they either made it or didn't make it was because of the age they got married. It doesn't matter. It's
good.
At all. Not even in the remote sense. The only thing that matters to keep your marriage together is if you put your marriage on something other than yourself. And so we put our marriage on God, and again, that was the advice that we were given. And so we made this covenant that is outside of ourselves. Mm. Our promise is not to each other. Our promise is to God.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing that we can do to break that or separate
that. That's so good. That's going to be healing for some marriages. I believe it. Because the enemy can come in at so many different angles and say, like, well, it's because you got married young or because you got married late or y'all are so different. But if you put your marriage or if any relationship, this goes for anybody out there, a friendship, a dating relationship, a marriage, if you put your relationship on something other than yourself, like God, there is a selfless kind of love that comes with that. And you can actually follow what God says to do, which is to love one another. And Jelinek, that was awesome. You really are a well of wisdom. And if you go to Jelinek's house, him and Mary Kate's house, you see books just literally everywhere. Like, not even a bookshelf, but it's become a bookshelf. And he just like surrounds himself with this culture of learning and with wisdom and with advice and all these things. And so if you're sitting there and you're like, man, I wish I knew all of these things, I wish I had advice to give, I just want to encourage you. One, you do, you have a story to tell. But two, if you feel like you don't, then go create the place for you. Go create that space. Surround yourself with books, immerse yourself with mentors and people who are further and so much smarter than you. Go to crazy places, and maybe that's just down the street, and love on your neighbor. Just start to create the story that you want to live. And we hope you've been so encouraged by Wood That's Good this season. I've been encouraged by all the advice we've been given. Jelinek, thank you again.
All right, y'all, you know what time it is. Time to call mama. So we're going to call mama with our best piece of advice and our worst piece of advice. Let's see what she has to say.
Hey there.
Hey, mama. Literally just got done talking to Jelinek, and he brought the fire. Seriously, that boy is awesome.
Okay. Are you ready? Gave us a lot of good advice, obviously. I mean, no shock there. But are you ready for the Whoa, That's Good, Whoa, That's Bad test?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm loving this piece of advice. Follow your heart, but take your brain with you.
Whoa, that is good. That is a good one because sometimes, yeah, I always say your brain is a really powerful thing, and sometimes you can let your brain go and you just like go along with whatever your heart's saying, but you need to bring your brain with you because you need to be thinking about these things.
I'm gonna let you use me as an example. I'm just gonna say a time or two I have followed the heart and left the brain at home. I said goodbye. See you later.
There's been a time or two in relationships that I've seen you do that, yes.
Yeah, it happens. Hey, make sure when you walk out the door and into your date, you have your brain on hand, okay? It's very important. Importante.
No, I think that's a really good one.
Yes. Okay, yeah, learning. Take a note from my failures that definitely have your brain. Okay, so I wanted to bring up a piece of advice you gave me when I was in the 8th grade, and it was one of the best pieces of advice that I can remember in our relationship. Okay, basically, remember that girl was like bullying me in school? She was so mean, and then you just said, well, stop listening to her. And I was like, what? Mom, what kind of advice is that? She's talking to me. And you're like, don't stand there. Like, tell her not to say it. And I was like, Mom, I can't do it. And I said, what do you even mean? It was so foreign to me, like the concept that I didn't actually have to listen to her. Like, I was like, it was like the craziest mind-blowing advice. And you said, next time she comes up to you, ask her, is what you're about to say to me, is it going to be good or is it going to be negative? And I was like, Mom, that was going to be so awkward. You were like, okay, well, then you're just going to keep hearing it. So the next day, I remember, I got to school, she comes up to me, and I said, wait. I said, is this about to be good, or is this going to be negative? And she said, well, it's bad, but it's about you, so you need to know. And I said, no, I actually don't need to know. If it's bad, I don't need to know. And I think that was the perfect, well, let's go, well, that's bad scenario. That's like, actually, you don't have to listen. You don't even have to listen to the bad advice. Not only do you not have to agree with it and follow it, but you don't even have to listen to it. Like, literally,
put the hand up, talk to the hand, and walk away. And that, I know it's funny because it seems simple. Like, when you said it, like, just don't listen. Like, it seems simple, but to me it was such a big deal because it that didn't seem like an option. And I just think that people need to know that that is an option. And that was a huge turning point for me.
Well, good. I'm so glad you remember that. I remember that moment, too. And I do remember it being really important. And I think we do have to, like, take responsibility. Like, we can control our relationships. Like, we do. We let people know how they can treat us or how they cannot treat us. Yeah. If someone doesn't treat, is not treating us respectfully, someone's not bringing positivity into our lives, and you have the right to just say, nope, sorry, no thank you. Like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, I don't need that in my life. And and it is, it's a way of actually, I think, respecting yourself and loving yourself.
Say it.
And when you speak up for yourself and say, nope, I'm not gonna, I don't need that in my life, and I'm not gonna allow you to put that into me.
So true.
You have every right to do that. You
so
did good
true.
At that. I remember that happening. I was very proud of you for doing it.
Aw, thanks, Mama.
Very proud of you.
Thank you. Well, and I will say this, just going right into a bad piece of advice, is that if it's about you, even if it's bad, you need to hear it. I think that that's bad advice. I don't think that you do. I think that if it's going to be bad and you need to hear it, it needs to be from your mom, your dad, or somebody who is in your life that you really trust and value the wisdom that they have, because very easily that can be really dangerous. If somebody's speaking negative things that people say about you that's not true, and you begin to believe that that's who you are, it can really, really, really do a number on you. It can cause a lot of damage. It can cause a lot of insecurity. It can cause you to believe things that aren't true and really put a limit to the things that you can do. But if you're, if you just say, you know what, no, I actually don't need to hear it. I'm actually not going to get involved with the gossip. I'm going to just continue to ask God who I am, or ask my parents who I am and get those reminders. Because even the other day, I'll just be transparent because I think this is important. When there was a situation that my friends were all talking about, and I could tell that they were a little bit upset, that I was like, are they upset with me, or are they upset with the situation? I can't tell. So remember, I called you and I like explained to you the situation. I'm like, do you see anything in here that I did that could have potentially led to them thinking that I was meaning to do something negative or give off something that was divisive? And you were able to listen through it and bring clarity to me on where things might have gone wrong. And I think that was really important, because I'm literally living my life. I didn't think two thoughts about it, but I wasn't looking at it from the perspective that they might have been looking at it from. And so ask your mom, ask a mentor, ask somebody, so that they can look at you and they can say, you're not wrong, you are not wrong, but I see where it went wrong, and here's maybe how you could speak truth and life into it. So they don't hurt who you are as a person, they don't bring it down, they don't make it a bad thing or give you false hope or no hope. They actually just say, here's how you can make it better. And I think that that's so, so, so important.
That's so good. And I think that, like, it is important, like you said, to hear it from somebody that loves you, that really knows you, because like that is one thing when someone's coming to you and stuff like that, for one they're probably coming to you because they're wanting to be divisive. They're probably you know, it's probably not coming from good intentions of like, oh hey, I want to help this situation. It's coming from a place of like gossip, or like, I want to create more division, or I want you to know that someone doesn't like you just because I want to hurt you. So like, probably their intentions are not really pure in that situation. But also, like, if they're coming to you and like, oh, so-and-so said that about you, like, you know what, it really doesn't even matter. Like, whoever they're probably telling you about doesn't even know you. And so that's something I know, remember we talked a lot about through high school, was like, you know, the opinions that matter are that of God, his opinion of you, and those who really know and love you. Everybody else's opinion, honestly, it really doesn't matter, because they don't know you. They don't know your heart. They don't know who you really are. Like, it just doesn't matter. So you really need to just take all of that with a grain of salt and brush it off and just not even listen to it.
But
you do need to listen to the people that love you and know you and have your best intentions at heart. And so that's that's my advice on all that.
That's a great advice, Mom. My last piece of advice for this season will be this, because Mom said a few times about if it's divisive, it's divisive. And I think that there's a way that we can look at the words that we choose to use in friendship and relationship and even just in general, in everyday conversation. You know, the Bible talks about how our tongue, it holds the power of life and death. So when we speak, we're either speaking life or we're either speaking really death. Like we're speaking something that's going to move forward or we're speaking something that's going to pull down. And I think in the same way, whenever you speak, you either speak towards unity or you speak division. And I think that when you speak towards division, what that looks like is it looks like speaking from a place of offense, speaking from a place of jealousy, speaking from a place of a competitive spirit, and all of those things that leads to division, that brings forth divisive language. I think when you speak to a place of unity, you speak towards love, you speak towards truth and with kindness and with grace and humility. And I think that before you speak, this is something I've been challenging myself with. God, is what I'm about to say, will it bring forth unity or will it bring forth division? And if it has any divisive tone, get it out of my life. And I have found that literally the Holy Spirit will be like, no, if it's going to come off negative or if it would separate or if it was coming from a place inside of me that wasn't pure. But when there's something to speak towards unity, it is amazing how your words come out, and it's amazing how it breathes peace into relationship. It brings forth joy. It continues to bond you in this bond of true love. And it's truthful, it's vulnerable, but it's life-giving. And so that would be my last piece of advice for this season until we talk next time. To as you go forth, make sure that you're being a person that's speaking towards the unity in the world and not speaking towards more of the division, because it's so, so, so important that we all unite on a common love. And honestly, we're going to be talking about unity a lot through messages that I'm speaking and through hopefully new books that I'm writing and stuff like that. And so I want to go ahead and get you praying in that direction of thinking towards the unity and know that we're all united by the same blood of Jesus. Whether you believe it or not, Jesus died for you and his blood covers all and literally connects us all through the power of love. And that's so powerful. And if anything, I'm going to say, whoa. That's good. Well, thanks, Mama, for all your advice. I love you so much.
Oh, I love you. You're making me cry over here. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, Mama, stop. Stop it.
That was so good.
I'm really glad that was inspiring.
It was.
Love you, Mom.
I love you, baby girl. So proud of you.
Thanks, Mama.
This is great. Can't wait to hear all the podcasts.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye, baby.
Thanks so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. We got a lot of good nuggets today. Don't forget to follow me on all the social media platforms I'm on. Instagram, I'm at LegitSadieRob. Twitter, Sadie Rob, and follow our Live Original Instagram. Also, I'm Sadie Robertson on Facebook. Head over to liveoriginal.com and subscribe to this podcast. And while you're there, you can see the tour dates that I'm coming to a city near you. Don't forget, please leave comments in the iTunes section and leave reviews. This podcast is produced by Steve Strout and Peter Hartzell, so a huge shout out to them and a thank you to my LO team. You guys are the best. We love y'all and we appreciate you listening. I'll see y'all soon.